Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. At the end of today's presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Kathy Harman. You may begin.
Thank you, Brandon, and thank you all for joining us today for the release of a new CDC Vital Signs, this one on hospital practices to support breastfeeding. We are joined by the director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Tom Frieden, and Dr. Kriya Perine. That's Kriya Perine, P as in Paul, E, R, R, I, N as in Nancy, E, Perine, of CDC's Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity, and lead author of this MMWR. At the end of their remarks, you will be able to ask questions. Dr. Frieden.
Good afternoon, and thanks to all of you for joining us today. CDC works 24/7 to keep Americans safe, healthy, and secure, and in every Vital Signs, we focus on a health issue on the front lines of CDC science to tell you what can be done to protect and save more lives. Here's the bottom line from this month's report on breastfeeding. Hospitals can give mothers and their newborns the best chance for the best nutrition, and we've seen significant progress in recent years, but there's still much more to be done. More than four million babies born in the U.S. each year, only 14% are born in hospitals designated as baby-friendly. However, if we look at the number of hospitals that are adopting some aspects of baby-friendly hospitals, and there are 10 steps to that. This is the global and national standard for hospital care. The proportion implementing most of those steps doubled from 29% in 2007 to almost 54% in 2013. That's a nearly twofold increase in 6 years. Breastfeeding is important. It's good for the children's, for the infant's health, and it's good for the mother's health. The facts are these, that breastfed infants have lower risk of infections, ear infections, respiratory infections, intestinal infections, and others. They also have a lower risk of asthma and of sudden infant death syndrome and appear to have a somewhat lower risk of obesity. Mothers also benefit. Mothers who breastfeed are less likely to get breast cancer, ovarian cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. And breastfeeding saves money. It's estimated that more than $2 billion a year in annual medical costs for children could be saved if breastfeeding recommendations were met. This Vital Signs examined data from CDC's National Survey of Maternity Practices in Infant Nutritional Care, or MPINC. The survey is done every other year to see how hospitals are doing, and we're grateful that hospitals participate in this survey. We found that more than 9 out of 10 hospitals used at least 2 of the 10 steps, offering mothers to be education and teaching mothers breastfeeding techniques. The support for another 10 steps, starting breastfeeding within 1 hour of birth, another of the 10 steps, specifically starting within an hour of birth, which is very important, grew substantially from 44% in 2007 to 65% in 2013. We also found that some steps aren't improving as much as others. In that same 6-year time period, the percent of hospitals that made sure that only breast milk was given to healthy infants whose mothers want to breastfeed went from only 20% to only 26%. And hospitals that gave adequate support for breastfeeding mothers after they left the hospital, understanding that the hospital has to really support women before, during, and after that hospitalization, also increased only slightly, from 27% to 32%. Every one of the 10 steps is important to use in the hospital to give babies the best start, to help mothers start and continue to breastfeed as recommended. So today, I'd really like to ask hospitals to keep making progress. For hospitals that want to start using the 10 steps or use more of them, make a plan for what you can do right now that's in line with 10 steps and phase that in over time. Ideally, we would like every birth hospital in this country to adopt all of the 10 steps and become baby-friendly. I'll now turn this over to Kriya Perrine to talk about the progress being made. Kriya?
Thank you, Dr. Frieden. So I would like to just give an example of some of the progress that is being made around the country, as just to give an example that this is possible. This is something hospitals can achieve. So as an example, here in Georgia, 1 year ago, there were no baby-friendly hospitals. And as of today, there are 4 baby-friendly hospitals in the state of Georgia, which accounts for 10% of all births. As far as improvements on implementing the 10 steps, the percent of hospitals implement using a majority of the 10 steps rose from 9% in 2007 to 39% in 2013. So as a mom who gave birth to a baby a year and a half ago in the state of Georgia, this is very exciting to me. Additionally, CDC funded the Best Fed Beginnings program in partnership with the National Institute for Children's Health Quality. So with this effort, we funded and worked with 89 hospitals in 29 different states to work towards baby-friendly designation. As of August, 50 of these hospitals had achieved baby-friendly designation, and the other 39 were in the final phase. And this effort specifically targeted hospitals with a large number of births that were serving populations that were predominantly African-American and low-income. So as a result of this effort, an additional 155,000 babies per year are now born in hospitals offering ideal breastfeeding support. Another wonderful example of this effort is the Indian Health Service. So they began their baby-friendly journey in 2011, and as of now, all 13 Indian Health Service hospitals are designated baby-friendly. So what is contributing to this success? We think it is likely several things, one being just increased attention on this effort, recognizing the importance of hospitals in helping support moms to be able to breastfeed. Another thing is CDC's MPINC survey. So this is both a survey that we use as a surveillance tool, but it is also an intervention. So every single hospital that participates receives a report back of their own practices and how they compare to other hospitals nationally in the same state and among hospitals of a similar size. And it's really been a tool that hospitals have been able to take to their leadership and to use as an example of where they may need to make some improvements. There have also been funded efforts by CDC, Best Fed Beginnings, which I've mentioned, as well as we are funding 33 state health departments to work on improvements in maternity care practices. So we have come a long way, but there is a lot more room to go. But I think it's certainly something that's achievable and an area that we'd like to continue to work. Thank you. Dr. Frieden?
Thanks very much. Just to continue on what hospitals and others can do, every hospital that supports the delivery of babies can participate in CDC's MPINC survey and get an individualized report of how they compare to other hospitals. Hospitals can work with doctors, lactation consultants, and organizations to create networks that support breastfeeding mothers and their infants. At CDC, we're also helping state health departments do their work to improve maternity care. State and local governments can adopt standards for hospitals to support breastfeeding. They can help hospitals use the 10 steps and help hospitals connect mothers to community support once they leave the hospitals. Doctors and other healthcare providers can help write hospital policies that encourage mothers to breastfeed. They can counsel mothers on breastfeeding during prenatal visits and include lactation care providers on patient care teams. They can support breastfeeding in hospital and at well baby visits. And finally, moms and their families can speak with their doctors and nurses about their breastfeeding plans and how to get help and ask about baby-friendly designation when choosing a hospital and encourage their own local hospital, if they're not already, to become baby-friendly. We're also very encouraged that starting next year, the Joint Commission will be looking at exclusive breastfeeding during and at discharge unless medically contraindicated as a key indicator for hospitals. And all of this, I think, is leading to a real acceleration of the adoption of baby-friendly practices in hospitals throughout the U.S., and that's a good thing. That means that babies are healthier, our children are healthier, mothers are healthier. I remember some of the best clinicians that I've worked with over the years being incredibly effective advocates for breastfeeding. For example, one pediatrician I know would say to a mother who brought in a child who was healthy, as they did the examination, they would point out each of the findings on physical examination and say, it's because you're breastfeeding that the mucosa are so healthy. Or if the child was sick, they would say, just think how much sicker the child would be if you hadn't been breastfeeding. So I think doctors can make a really big difference in encouraging and supporting women who choose to breastfeed, and that hospitals can play a critical role in those first few days of life, which really do form the basis of the pattern of breastfeeding, and encourage and help women who want to breastfeed to be able to do so throughout the entire at least 6 months that that's recommended. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Frieden and Dr. Perrine. We're now ready to take questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Once again, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for our first question. First question is from Mike Stobie with the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. I just want to make sure I caught the number. I think Dr. Perrine said the number of babies that are born each year to hospitals that are baby-friendly, I guess, or doing all 10 steps. Could you repeat that number?
So currently it's at 14% of the hospitals. Babies born in the U.S. are born to hospitals which are baby-friendly. That's a big increase from the past, and the number of babies who are born in those hospitals currently is...
And the numbers I gave were specific to Georgia. Is that what you were asking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had a national number. I misunderstood. Do you have a national number?
On the percent of... So the percent of babies born in baby-friendly hospitals is 14%.
14% of 4 million.
Yeah.
Okay. And the second question was, what's the primary obstacle that you've encountered in getting more hospitals to do all the steps? Is it doctors? Is it hospital administrators? Is it what's the stumbling block?
I think every hospital has a slightly different sort of depending where they're starting from. Sometimes it's convincing leadership. Sometimes, other hospital leadership are really on board, and it's just sort of actually going through the process of implementation. Step 2 is about training all healthcare staff, and that can sometimes not necessarily be a huge obstacle, but just be a time-consuming endeavor, and it takes a long time to sort of get everybody trained and up to speed. Sometimes there are existing staff there, you know, a head labor and delivery nurse that's been there for 30 years, that this is how I've always done things, why should I change? So it could be convincing specific people that why these practices are important and sort of the benefits to the moms of implementing them. I think, as Dr. Frieden pointed out, the two where we've seen the least amount of progress is limiting the use of non-breast milk feeds to breastfed infants and sort of providing that optimal discharge support of connecting moms to resources after the hospital stay.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Dan Childs with ABC News.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my question. The first question that I had was, in addition to the Joint Commission recommendations, what else is going to be done to enforce, better breastfeeding practices at hospitals?
Really, this is an effort that involves the hospital leadership, the local government, the state government, the Joint Commission, of course, but also community groups and mothers, and having prospective mothers ask hospitals if they're baby-friendly, identify those that are, express a preference for that, will be really important. As Dr. Perrine indicated, it's not simple to go through these 10 steps. I have helped hospitals do it in my former roles. It can take several years and very intense effort. These are all evidence-based steps, but they all take real changes in practice, training of staff, policy change in terms of formula feeds, and that can take time. Dr. Parine, anything you'd like to add to that?
No, I think that was good. Thank you.
And thank you so much. I had just one follow-up question, and it's from a colleague of mine who's also listening in on this.
Hi, my name is Lolita Vyankar. I had a quick question regarding the non-breast milk, the formula that's actually provided by a lot of these hospitals. That is a big challenge, and I think I've also seen that. And do you have any recommendations or any implementation specifically for that targeted goal for hospitals, or what challenges have you seen be overcome for that particular goal?
So you're referring particularly to sort of the step six and how to operationalize that?
Yeah.
Good question. I think different hospitals are doing it differently, and it sort of needs to figure out what works with the hospital. I think just some of these steps hang together. So, for example, rooming in, if a baby is with a mom 24 hours a day and the mom wants to breastfeed, it sort of removes that opportunity to, oh, well, the baby's in the nursery at night, let's just give them a bottle so that we don't wake mom, or sort of really helping with the feeding on demand. They all go together for sort of making sure that the baby gets everything that they want. But this is all based on when there's no medical necessity. So we're talking about healthy, breastfed babies. Mom wants to breastfeed. Baby doesn't need formula for any reason, and just making sure that that's all the baby gets.
It may not be widely understood by all of the care team in hospitals that even a little bit of formula may undermine the strong start to breastfeeding of the mother-child bond. And so that's one thing that needs to be more widely understood so that this can be done. Also, there may be, in situations where there isn't medical necessity, there may be excessive and sometimes unrealistic concern on the part of some hospital staff. Oh, what if the child becomes dehydrated? And just sometimes we medicalize things when we should just allow a more holistic approach to care of the mother and infant. Of course, if there is a health risk or a medical condition, that needs to be dealt with. But outside of that context, we sometimes see an overzealousness in providing feeds when maybe the baby just needs a couple hours more sleep or some other intervention to allow time to take its course.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Michaeline Duclos with NPR. Your line is open.
Yes, I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about why these practices, especially like early on, are so important. You mentioned that it sets up a pattern. Maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, that critical window, the time period for breastfeeding success.
It's, you know, breastfeeding is a very physiological, a mother needs to sort of start right away to establish her milk supply, and it's initially very much a supply and demand issue. So these practices that sort of interfere with that demand aspect then, as a result, end up interfering with the supply. So a mother needs every opportunity to express her milk in the beginning to begin to establish a milk supply.
Our next question is from Dennis Thompson with Health Day. Your line is open.
Just before Mr. Thompson asks his question, there's also a importance in the first few days in that initial breastfeeding because it's very rich in antibodies, colostrum, that's very protective of the infant. So it both sets up a good pattern and also provides good protection for the child, for the infant.
Thanks for taking my question. This gets at the same issue a little bit from a different angle. In your background information, you note that 60% of mothers who stopped breastfeeding during the first year reported they stopped earlier than desired. Could you go into a little bit about why they abandoned breastfeeding earlier than they would have liked, what some of the problems are that the mothers face that you know, this extra support might help them overcome?
Sure. So that statistic is from an analysis of our infant feeding practices study, too. And so it interviewed moms throughout the year after their baby was born, and when they stopped breastfeeding, asked them whether they had breastfed as long as they want, and 60% said no. So then it asked why they stopped. And the majority of reasons given were things really related to sort of the early problems with breastfeeding, things like pain, problem with the baby latching on appropriately, problems with enough milk, so either the baby losing weight or perceiving that they didn't have a sufficient milk supply, which are really a lot of things that can be overcome with early professional support and management, which is why that early period in the hospital and then immediately after the hospital is so critical.
Thank you.
Next question.
Our next question is from Kyle Mazza with UNF News. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for taking my question. Dr. Frieden, I want to ask you three questions. Why is information about breastfeeding to mothers who may be giving birth to a child important? Then why are the 10 steps vital for hospitals to adopt in their procedures? And also, my colleague Henry Pratt would want to ask you, how would health insurance and the government play a role in this as well?
It's clear that breastfeeding is the best nutrition for mothers and infants who can have breastfeeding as the source of nutrition. We know that exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months is important to child health, and that a good start to that is crucially important. The hospitals can be critical to determining, in fact, whether a woman who wants to breastfeed is successful at initiating and continuing breastfeeding. That's why these 10 steps cover every aspect of breastfeeding in the hospital, from the clear plan to the education of the woman to support after discharge. And all of those are important for support of the woman and the infant. In terms of insurance coverage, I know Dr. Perrine can speak about this more, but there have been important changes in improvements in some of the way some federal programs have addressed breastfeeding, including in the WIC program, which is now very supportive of breastfeeding and a big part of the solution, and something that I think is having a big impact on improving childhood nutrition overall. Dr. Perrine?
We recently learned that Blue Cross Blue Shield of Mississippi is really supporting this effort and is actually hosting training sessions for Mississippi hospitals about the 10 steps and implementing them. So they've really recognized it as an important quality improvement effort. The Kaiser Hospital has helped a lot of their hospitals work towards baby-friendly or sort of improving their maternity care practices.
And as a follow-up, how would you say the coordination's going between all these different insurance providers and the community at large?
I think what we're seeing is a significant improvement in hospital practices promoting breastfeeding, and that's encouraging. Frankly, I think we're seeing more progress than many of us had thought there would be. To see the number of hospitals adopting most of the steps nearly double in a six-year period is very encouraging. Healthcare practices often don't change that rapidly. So that's encouraging, but we do have much more progress to make. And I would just like to conclude this by first thanking all of you for joining us and repeating the bottom line here, which is that breastfeeding offers the best chance for the best nutrition. Hospitals can be a big part of the solution here in increasing the breastfeeding rate in the U.S. We've seen really great progress in recent years, but still lots of hard work that needs to happen, and that will happen by a cooperation and collaboration among patients, families, communities, hospitals, healthcare providers, insurers, state, local, and federal governments, and we're encouraged by the direction that this is going in, and thank you all for your coverage.
Thank you. That concludes this telebriefing. We will post a transcript later this afternoon at the CDC newsroom site, cdc.gov/media. If you have follow-up questions, you can call us at 404-639-3286. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. All lines may disconnect at this time.